Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 65th Perek, Perek Samache of Yeshayahu. We are really at the end. This is the second last Perek. Let us focus on this Perek. There's a tremendous amount of content in this Perek. It's 25 psukim long and really follows off on the ends, the tail coattails of the last Perek, where at the end, where the Jews turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're losing hope in exile. Please save us. Why aren't you saving us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you removed the tzaddikim. We have no choice. We have no help. Help us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in the first section of this parak, from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Zayin, pretty unequivocally. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I made myself available, but I just wasn't requested. Almighty Hineini, Hashem says, I was here. El Goy Loi Kora B'Shmi, to a nation who weren't calling me. I was making myself available. Ain't no one there to answer, says Hashem. I spread out my hand all day. I was waiting for you, but you were busy going off the road. You're going along a perverted path, says Hashem. And you made me angry. You went, you slept in the graveyards. You sacrificed in your back gardens and burnt incense on the stones. You fasted and waited in the cemeteries for the Ruach HaTumah, the impure spirit, the dark forces to take over you. These are obviously ways to communicate with the dead, not in a mutter way. Those who want Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tickle me, don't touch me. Don't come close to me, because your smoke creates anger in my face. The smoke to the Korbanos, to your Avodah Zorahs, they anger me, says Hashem. All your evil is written in front of me, Hashem says, Inexuva, it is written in front of me, and I'm going to pay it back. And in fact, not only am I going to pay it back, says Hashem, I'll pay back to this your sins, and I will not keep quiet until I pay back the sins of your parents as well. So just a few things to think about in this section. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really, at this point in time, explaining why it is that Hashem did not respond to us during our extended galus, and that's because we didn't respond. You know, there's a famous line which is brought in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Gimel, and which is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which says that every person around the time of Rosh Hashanah, very apropos this time of year, should view themselves as chasi, that they have exactly the right amount, they have exactly the equal amount. The Benoni is somebody who has mechza al mechza, half-half. And he says the following, Mi shenimtza is tzadik nechtam l'chaim, mi shenimtza rosha nechtam l'misa, that the person who's found a Rosh Rachman is given the decree of death. Vabeinoni, the in-betweener, who has half-half, toilin oisoi ad yom ha-kippurim, im osa teshuva nechtam l'chaim v'im lav nechtam l'misa. If that person does teshuva during that series they made teshuva, then great, they've broken the tie. If not, they Rachman Nitzan end up on the other side, they get written for death. Now think about that for a second. Is that really fair? Meaning, let's say the person is equal, like spot on the middle, on that tightrope, right there, equal, whether it be in quality or quantity or direction of life, however else we're going to manage this. And a person doesn't do anything, so they sort of remain in stasis, or their entire series to make shiva. Why does that mean to say that they get on the wrong side of the equation at the end? Shouldn't they at least still be equal? They should still be in tie without a tiebreaker? So the Lechem Mishnah was one of the Noisei Kelim, one of the commentators on the Rambam, and many others suggest, no, there is in fact an additional sin. Because when you are at a time where Hashem is close, when Hashem has extended His hand to you and you walk right past Him, that itself is a sin. You could be equal upon equal, the entire Haseres and Metshuvah, but if you ignore when Hashem extends His hand to you, oh boy, that's a much greater implication. And that's what Yeshayahu is saying over here. Okay, you know, folks, you call out to me. That's very nice. I was waiting there with my hand outstretched, and I was saying to you, Hineini, I'm here, and you weren't noticing me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's why I ignored you. That's why I'm bringing back your sins. At the end of the section, this particular section, Yeshayahu describes how Hashem is going to pay back the sins of the children and their parents. How does that work? Do children suffer for the sins of their parents? Is that really how the system works? And vice versa, it doesn't go in both directions. So the Gemara resolves this based on there's a number of psukim which seem to indicate that there is intergenerational punishment. And one of the answers the Gemara suggests is that we are punished for parents' sins when we uphold and we continue the negative legacy of parents and grandparents. Meaning to say, when parents do terrible things and the children continue perpetuate doing those terrible things, they do get the punishment of their parents is compounded. And this is what Yeshayahu is saying over here, is if we continue in those ways, then unfortunately we inherit that as well. So in response to that, now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the next section, Yeshayahu sort of pivots this destruction. And it says, don't worry, I'm not going to destroy you fully. It's sort of a little bit of consolation from total destruction. This section runs from Ches into up to Pasuk Tezayin. And in this section, Hashem says, no. Nonetheless, Hashem is not going to destroy us totally. You know what? He gives an example. It's like a cluster of grapes, where most of the grapes are bad, but there's a bunch of good grapes. So the farmer's not going to chuck out the entire bunch of cluster of grapes. Very simply, why? Because he wants the good grapes. That's how it's going to work. So Hashem says, I'm not going to destroy all of you, because there's a lot of tzaddikim. He describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to bring the children and bear children from Yaakov and Yehuda, whether this means the north and the southern kingdom. Children inherit my mountain. The Sharon will be a place for flocks. The blocked up valleys will be a place for cattle. And my nation will be called to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. He's going to reinvest in the land. We're going to return to it. He says, those who left me and forgot the temple mount and set up their tables to God and their wines to Mimni, those people I'll bring to the sword, and you will crouch in front of your slaughter, since I called and you didn't answer to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning there seems to be people who are worth it, and there seems to be people who are not interested in Hashem. And Hashem is going to save the general klal, but there will be specific evildoers who will be singled out. That's what it seems to be saying. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes one step further. He says, so says Hashem, my servants will eat, but you who sinned will starve. My servants will drink, but you who sinned will parch. My servants will rejoice and you will wail in pain, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to single out those who are evildoers, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your name will be a curse, meaning to say that whenever people say, oh, terrible things should happen, they'll say, like those people. And the good people, oof, they will be so blessed that you won't be able to bless anybody without mentioning the names of those who served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how good it will be. It'll be so good that for them, they will forget the evil and the terrible things that went on in their lives, because that's how good it'll be. This is sort of a great pivot, a great shift from that. Why in the merit of the good people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will single out the negative people. But it sounds like the general 60% mass will follow the good people because of that, based on the cluster grapes example. One or two points to consider in this section, and that is this mysterious pasuk in the middle, which goes, Amatem ozvei Hashem hashechichim es har kodshi. Those of you who leave God, who forget the temple mount, ha'orchim la'gad shulchan v'amamilim memamni mimsach, that the pasuk Yud Aleph, that you set up your tables to God and you'll fill up your wine, your nesach to Mamni. So what is this referring to? What exactly is going on over here? Most of the Mefarshim say, like the Ibn Ezra says, either this is an Avodah Zarah, that God is a sort of deity, or it's a star sign, sort of a horoscope, sort of trying to work out what's going on in the future, or not exactly serving Avodah Zarah, but trying to peer into realms that we don't have access to. But the Malbim says, no, it's actually much more simple than that. It's not Avodah Zarah, it's not horoscopes, it's something much more prevalent, something much more relating to us today. Says the Malbim, you know what it is? Listen to the Pasuk again. The Pasuk says, Hashechechim es har kodshi, those who forget the Temple Mount. Those are the people who say, you know what, it's been a long galus. You know what, is Mashiach really coming? We've waited. He ain't coming. Let's be real. Get real. Let's get with the program. We're here to stay. So you know what, when we're here and here to stay, you know what we do? We celebrate. We party and we be merry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't really matter, says the Malbim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Woo! Yes, tomorrow you do die. But that's because you forgot about me. So what we're talking about over here is not necessarily a Avodah Zarah. It's a lack of hope. And that's the terrible travesty, the terrible despair that's to be found in this section. The final section over here, the Perek, runs from Pasuk Yud Zayin to Chof Hei. This section is heralding the era of a new beginning. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hineni boreich shomayim chadashim ve'eretz chadashim. I'm going to create new heavens and new earth, which the Mefarshim say is metaphoric, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm creating a world which is going to be so beautiful, so renewed, so full of blessing that it will seem like a completely new world. It will be a world of eternal rejoicing. Yerushalayim will be a place of continual happiness, of continual joy. People will come to Yerushalayim and forever live there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice. They'll no longer be suffering. They'll no longer be crying. Young people won't die young. 100-year-olds will die and people will say, ooh, it must have been out of sin. Or it must have been they were really young. That's how old they'll be. It'll be like to the days of old. They'll build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and enjoy them. They won't be toiling in vain and be taken away from all the things that they invested in. That's like the end of Parsha Shoftim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, if those who are going out to war and have just planted a new vineyard, built a new house, and just married recently, can go back for more because it's Shechas HaShalom, somebody else should enjoy their investments. No. their relationships. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's going to come a time where you're going to all enjoy everything you invested into. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you call out, the most beautiful pasuk which we say on a day of Slichos, we say, at this point in time, V'hoyo terem yikrol, before you call, ani yeneh, I'm going to answer, says Hashem. Oidei medabrim, while you're still speaking, ani eshma, I'm going to listen to you. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because the wolf and the lamb are going to pasture together, sort of the symbol of Yeshayahu. And the lion and the cattle are going to be eating hay together, and the serpent will be eating the dust. They're not going to create evil and any mischief on my har kodshi, says Hashem. And of course, we saw the debates beforehand between the Rambam and the Ravid as to whether this is going to be a change in the nature of the worlds, like the Ravid said. Or is the Rambam, it's metaphoric, maybe this is referring to there's going to be world peace, as Abarbanel says, and Abarbanel here at the end of this parak tries to identify who is the wolf, who is the lion, who is the serpent, why is there only three of the three mamalochos of the three goliaths mentioned over here? How are they going to differ in the way that there's going to be recompense? Why is Edom not mentioned? And this is what the Abarbanel spends a long time describing at the end of this section. I want to just really point out one last point. And that is this beautiful statement of, when you call out, I will always answer. Such a powerful line. And this is one reference from to Sefer Yashar. Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, wrote a book called Sefer Yashar. And he says that ultimately, there's five times in life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be heard even before we even call out. Where are those five times? He says these are times where we have a lot more opportunity to reach out to Hashem. Time number one, he says, is when a person arrives at intellect, a person arrives at understanding at such a point in life, and this happens sequentially at very various different times and stages in life. Experiences give this to us. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears us more, and we understand, we perceive, we allow in knowledge. Time number two, he says, before we daveros, that doesn't mean to say one moment in life, various stages before we get into things that are too deep for us. Before we get there, Hashem is willing to answer us much more. Third stage, when a community is fasting, that's why we use this lashon, in a communal fast. At such times when we come together, we're able to change and shift HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perception in the way that we come together. Number four, before we get into bad crowds, which change our immune system. Before we get there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to listen to us. When we become cynical, when we get into the crowds that just talk and always criticize and always complain and always have something bad to say. It's very hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, to listen. And finally, when a person is still in a space of plenty, a place of serenity, because when you're in a place of pain, then a person will always return to Hashem, says Rabbeinu Tam. In these five times, when we reach these five stages, or before we reach these five stages, when a person requests, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's a time Hashem is found in our lives, and He'll answer much more easily. And this isn't specific moments in our lives, like certain red lines that we crossed and can't cross again, because they keep coming again and again. And at these various stages, remembering to actualize this, Beterem Yikrol Vayni Ene. Hashem says, before you even call out, if you know those moments in life, I'm waiting for you. And like a parent with open arms is waiting, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to his battered, hurt, crying, forlorn nation, I'm waiting for you. Call me and I love you. My hand is out there. Wait and receive it. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.